You're listening to Fashion Confab, where we have conversations with the icons and trailblazers of the fashion industry. Listen in to be informed and inspired as we profile the most influential people in fashion today.
Today we will talk with Jonathan Mason of Mason Law Group based in Atlanta, Georgia. Jonathan is a very accomplished entertainment attorney representing music, film and television, fashion and more. Jonathan will share some specifics around his expertise and experience of trademarks and the fashion industry, along with details about his career journey.
So hi, Jonathan. I'm looking forward to talking to you to learn more about your career as an entertainment attorney and how it relates to the fashion industry. But first, let's talk more about your personal background. Tell me a little bit about you personally.
Well, as you mentioned, I am an entertainment attorney, and that encompasses a lot of different things, some planned, some not so planned. One branch of what I consider a branch of entertainment law deals with trademark, copyright, or so-called intellectual property. And so that's one of my main areas of focus is intellectual property. Now, how I got into entertainment law is almost by accident as well. I started out trying to go to med school, and I was all in line for that. And I went to work one summer at a hospital in the little town where I'm from. I think it was after my junior, sophomore year maybe. And I said, oh, my goodness, I cannot do this. So I thought about the things that I really liked to do, and they all seemed to involve around creative people, art, you know, all kinds of creative endeavors, music, things like that. And so I said, well, wait a minute. I can spend my days stuck in a hospital, or I can spend my days working with people who are creating, you know, clothing and movies and music. And so that's kind of how I ended up doing entertainment law, and then copyright and trademark kind of sprung out from that as well.
Okay. Well, tell us about your education. Where did you go to school? You know, what made you decide to go to those particular schools?
Yeah, okay. I went to Howard University for my undergrad, except my junior year, I had the opportunity to go on an exchange, and most people think of an international destination when they think of an exchange, but I actually did a domestic exchange program that we had with Stanford University. So I went there, and then I came back to Howard, and after I went to Howard, well, actually when I was in college, I took a job with the Washington Post part-time, and I did that for a year between undergrad and law school, and then I ended up going to Georgetown University for law school. And Georgetown was good for me because it's a large law school, and it had a wide course offering that included trademark, intellectual property, sports law, and entertainment law as well. So that's kind of a bit about my background.
Well, you're definitely qualified. I can say that much with all those good skills.
Oh, thank you. At least on paper.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you're going to be able to share some good information with our listeners about trademarks. And so let's get to it. Tell us, what is a trademark? We're going to just talk about a little bit about trademarks first, and then we'll get more into your career and, you know, some specifics about your career.
Okay, I have to warn you, I'm going to violate a cardinal rule here, and I'm going to answer a question with a question.
Okay.
So you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready? Okay, good. Okay, so if you see a nice, beautiful pair of shoes, and the soles of those shoes are red, then what does that tell you?
They're Christian Louboutins.
Okay, so you just answered what a trademark is. So a trademark is a symbol, it's a color, it's a slogan, it's a logo, but it's some device that's used to identify the source of a product. And so in that case, the red soles of those shoes is the identifier, and it distinguishes that shoe manufacturer or designer from other shoe designers. And so that's the exact function of a trademark. And in that case, something as abstract as color can be a trademark. And there are other examples of, you know, of color. Shape can be a trademark as well. It's not fashion related, but the shape of the Coca-Cola bottle was actually trademarked. So no one else could come along and design a beverage bottle that had that curved shape of a Coca-Cola bottle. And so that's what a, you know, generally that's what a trademark consists of. There's some symbol, mark, design, color, slogan that's used to identify the source of a product.
So how does the fashion industry utilize trademarks? I know, I mean, we talked about shoes, but in terms of clothing and apparel.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the fashion industry really, really has to rely on trademarks, because one of the reasons is because there's some limitations on copyright law and the protection of designs in the fashion industry. So oftentimes designers and manufacturers have to turn to trademark law to protect their brand, so to speak. So I mentioned one example with the shoe color, but I mean, most commonly would be the name of the designer or the brand or the line itself. I did a quick Google search on the top 10 fashion brands, and, you know, Versace and Calvin Klein, you know, those names like that. I mean, those are examples of very famous trademarks in the fashion industry. And you could sit there and probably rattle 25 or 30 of them right off the top of your head if you really sat down and thought about it.
Right. And you mentioned, we talked briefly prior to the interview about some specific brands that have had some challenges. Can you share the specific situation that happened with Barack Obama recently?
That situation, it could probably happen to any designer or out there who happens to find an image or even take an image of a famous person wearing that brand. In this particular case, there was a company that manufactured jackets, and the president went to the Great Wall of China, and he was wearing one of their jackets. And, you know, it was covered by the news, and there was a lot of video footage of him at the Great Wall of China. And so what this company decided to do was to take a still of this news footage and turn it into a billboard and place that billboard in Times Square, New York, of all places. And so, of course, you know, the White House frowned upon that and asked them to take it down. And ultimately they did. But, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, they probably got what they wanted out of it, which was some quick publicity and probably some quick sales from people becoming aware of their brand by seeing it on this billboard, you know, with the president wearing their
right.
jacket. In other areas of my practice, for example, you know, I represent film producers, and I have to advise them either by screening their film or by looking at reviewing their scripts and to make sure that they don't cross the line on trademarks, including fashion trademarks. In fact, there was a lawsuit over this from one of the Hangover movies, I think it was the second one, where they were sitting in the airport, and I don't remember the character's name, played by Zach. Everybody knows how his kind of zany character in the movie. And he referred to a bag as a Louis Vuitton. And, you know, it was a very quick scene. It was probably only 5 seconds. But that scene led to a lawsuit because Louis Vuitton said, hey, we didn't give you permission to feature our brand or use our name in your film. And on top of that, the bag that you showed in the movie was not actually a Louis Vuitton bag. It was a knockoff bag, and we've been in litigation with that company to try to get them to stop making that bag. So it ended up in litigation. Although, in, you know, fairness, Louis Vuitton didn't prevail in that suit, mm-hmm. But it still shows kind of the legal issues that can arise that you wouldn't think of if you're a fashion designer. And, you know, somebody, you see, you're just watching a movie and then you see your product in a movie, then, you know, and especially if it's not, the name isn't being said correctly or it's not actually your product, then, you know, you could understand that fashion designer not looking too favorably on that.
Absolutely. And I guess that's why people like you exist, so that you can help your clients manage these sort of situations. But tell us more about what services you offer for your fashion clients.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can give you an example of one that has come up recently and I'm working on right now is a fashion designer. And this could be any number of people. I mean, you don't have to be at any particular level. You could be just starting out. But he wanted to protect his brand name through trademark. So I'm in the midst of filing a trademark application for him. Well, it's been filed, and we're just following up with the trademark office on some things they want us to follow up on. But that's a very common service that I've offered to designers. And you know what? Even within that, though, it's not as simple as, okay, I want to file a trademark. There's some preliminary steps that you might have to go through before you even get to filing the trademark application. I mean, for example, you might have to do a trademark search. Mm-hmm. And even though people use Google, you know, on an everyday basis, Google alone might not be sufficient to do a comprehensive trademark search. There are companies out there that will provide trademark searches, and those searches go beyond just what you'd find on Google. They search state business records to see if there are any companies. They search old archives with newspapers and things that Google might not reach. So then you get this comprehensive search back, and it might be hundreds of pages. And so one of the services that attorneys like myself provide is we interpret those results and give you a trademark opinion on whether you can pursue your line and whether you're likely to get it registered with the trademark office. Because there'd be nothing worse than having this huge investment in a name or a brand or a logo only to find out later that someone else was using it prior to you and you know, you have to change your whole branding.
Exactly. Let's talk about your career specifically for those who may be interested in becoming an entertainment attorney and specializing in fashion. So I want to talk to you about getting into the business of fashion and what was your inspiration for your specific career?
Well, I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that I think your career should gravitate toward things that you are interested in and things that you're passionate about. So if you have a passion for fashion, then, and you want to be a lawyer, there are definitely ways that you can do that. You can combine the two. Now, for me, I just had to figure out what did I like to do and what kind of people I like to be around. But I have to say this, and this is the advice that I would give people. It's tough to break into certain fields like entertainment law, fashion, trademark, things like that. It's tough to get jobs in those areas. They're very competitive. And so my advice would be to first, if, for example, if you want to become an entertainment lawyer or a fashion lawyer, first just learn how to be a good lawyer, period. So that might mean you're going to work in a different type of law, or you're going to have a mentor who's not necessarily in that field, but you're learning skills that can transfer over so that when you're ready to transition into your area, if you can't get into it initially, you will have a strong background in how to be a lawyer so that when you're ready, when you first, and I'll give you my example, when I first became, I used to do a lot of music law early on in my career, and I trained myself and by getting mentors and going to seminars, but I didn't have any clients yet. So I just said, you know what, how am I going to get clients? So I said, oh, you just tell people you're an entertainment lawyer, and people started referring people to me. Now, I use my mentors, and I also use some volunteer cases to get some experience. So once you get that opportunity, you want to be prepared to handle it, because, you know, you can say, oh, I do fashion law, and then somebody hears about you, and then they come to you, but you're not prepared to do the work, then, you know, that'll actually probably set you back a while, because, you know, your reputation gets around. So that's kind of like what I would advise someone to do.
You're listening to Fashion Confab.
What was your challenge in getting into your career?
Well, one of my challenges was where I lived at the time when I first started. And keep in mind, I mean, I've been practicing for a long time, so the internet wasn't what it is today, and you know, technology in general wasn't as today. We don't have social media, we didn't have webcams and video conferencing and things like that. So I lived in North Carolina, where, you know, there wasn't a huge, although it's certainly grown now, like TV production, but at the time, you know, there wasn't a lot of entertainment opportunities there for an attorney. So I had to figure out, well, how can I make this work in the location where I am? And then, you know, so that was one challenge. Another challenge was, how do you get the specialized experience to be able to handle these types of contracts? It's like, you know, entertainment contracts, trademark law, you know, it's pretty specialized. So how do you learn and be able to competently represent your client? And I mentioned, you know, getting some volunteer experience through pro bono cases, and definitely having mentors. And I think, you know, I'd recommend that to even people who are not, who don't want to be attorneys, but want to practice or work in some other area that's fashion related. You know, people are busy, and you might get turned down, or you know, people might not respond to you, but all it takes is one person that who you reach out to say yes, who can give you some guidance, and, you know, that might shape your whole career. So anybody who ever contacts me, I always take the time to reach out to them and thank them for contacting me, and any advice that I can give them, I try to do that.
I like that. I think that definitely crosses over into any career, so that's good advice. So that is a good segue into the next question, which is, what or who inspires you?
Wow. That is a good question. You know what? When I was coming out of, I mentioned I went to Stanford for my, on an exchange program. Well, initially I wanted to go to Stanford, you know, as my undergraduate altogether, you know, that was my first choice school. I got in, and it, honestly, it came down to a scholarship, which scholarship was the best. And, you know, I went to Howard, and I knew that they had that exchange. But the reason I bring this up is because part of my application process for Stanford was I had to write about the most inspirational person in my life. And I actually wrote about my great-grandmother, who I think she died when I was 10 years old. I was 10 years old when she died, but I can remember her very vividly because, you know, she was a true matriarch of the family. But the thing that stood out the most about her is she was blind, but she could do so many things. I mean, she would clean the house. She would wash the dishes. She would even sew. I kid you not. She would sew things. And, you know, speaking of fashion, I didn't even think of it that way. And I would just look at her, and you know, I remember visiting her, and she would call you over, and she'd touch your face, and then, you know, once she touched your face, she'd sort of memorize it. And so then, you know, she could tell who you were just by touching your face. And that was just at a young age, she just inspired me so much. And then once I got out of law school, I met another guy who's an attorney. We studied for the bar. We took the bar review course together. And this guy was also blind. And his name is Doug Armstrong. I consider him still a great friend of mine. And I mentioned he was also blind. Well, this guy was he was a computer science major. He ran cross country in high school, and he went on skiing trips for visually impaired people. And we used to watch sports together, and he would argue with you about a game like he could really see it. Or he would say, "Oh, that person was a great dresser. He was an Arkansas Razorback fan," and he'd talk about their coach Ben Nolan Richardson, and he would talk about how much of a snazzy dresser he was. And I just said, you know, I would literally sometimes forget that he was blind. So when I met Doug, it kind of reminded me of my great-grandmother. And so when I saw those two people, you know, I was just like, well, what excuse do I have not to do something that they didn't let their limitations, you know, stand in the way of what they needed to accomplish?
Absolutely. Wow. Now, that's inspirational for sure.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us what your favorite quote is and why.
Oh, wow. Well, there's a I think this gentleman's name is Stephen Covey. I apologize if I butcher his name. But a year or so ago, I was part of a radio show, and we had this segment where one of my co-hosts used to read something inspirational. And one day she had this quote, and the quote is very simple. It's just, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And it actually reads better than it sounds when you say it verbally. But when she said it, I was like, what? What did she just say? And I was like, wow, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And I was like, wow. So, like, in life, you know, we get off on so many tangents, and we make priorities out of things that shouldn't be priorities. So really, you know, your family, your faith, you know, things like that should really be, you know, in that main thing category. And so so I went online, I went on Google, and I found, you know, I just put the quote in, and then I selected images, and I found several photos that had incorporated that quote, and I used one of those for a long time for like a profile picture or something. And I just, it just stuck with me when I read that. And so,
wow,
so that's,
I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we finish our conversation, tell us what's going on in your business right now. Anything we should know about your practice right now?
Well, I just think that it's interesting how the industries have changed over the years. The music industry has changed. The book publishing industry has changed, largely due to technology. But one thing or two things that remain the same are copyright and trademark protection. And over the years, I've just developed an affinity for trademark law.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of like no matter how much the technology's changed, the basis of the law in those areas is still the same. And so as I go forward in my business, I think that trademark law will be a strong focus. And one thing that I've learned is that that I actually like about trademark law, and beside it just being really interesting in a nerdy sort of way, but it applies to so many different types of businesses. It doesn't just apply to entertainers. It does apply to them, but just regular mom and pop business people need to understand trademark law and their brand. I mean, I have actually, and this is fashion related, I have a client here in the Atlanta area who has been running a boutique for at least 4 or 5 years under a certain name. And she recently got a cease and desist letter from a company in Michigan that had trademarked the name that she was using. And so she literally has to change her business name that she's had out there for, you know, a good 4 or 5 years, and she's developed a customer following and all of that under, but there's really just no way around it. That other person, they registered their trademark. They've had their trademark for more than 5 years, which makes it very difficult to challenge that trademark. And so I see that, I see the impact that it has on people's businesses. I see how people can make a lot of money off of a trademark by licensing their trademark. And maybe, you know, that's something we can talk about in a future show. I mean, like, for example, you know, in boxing, you know, there's that guy Michael Buffer who starts off the boxing matches with "Let's get ready to rumble." Well, and I didn't say it like he says it, but he trademarked that. And so if you want to use that in a movie or something like that, you have to go to him and get a license for that. And if you believe the internet reports, he made a lot of money off of that. So in my practice,
smart man.
yeah, exactly. So I'd like to help people with their, you know, their branding or their, you know, their slogans or, you know, their clothing lines that incorporate their brand or certain sayings or expressions or what have you. I just love creativity. And so that's kind of like where I see myself and positioning myself with my practice in the future.
Okay. So tell us how we can connect with you on social media and give us your contact information.
Sure. Sort of my business handle and my website is ATL Showbiz Law. And that's ATL Show, B-I-Z, Law. And so pretty much if you stick that in Google, you'll find me. But I use that on Twitter. I use that on Facebook. And then my website itself is ATLShowbizLaw.com. And if you'd like to send me an email, you can send the email to jmason@ATLShowbizLaw.com.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. This has been very informative. I feel like we need to talk again at some point to get more examples about how people in the fashion industry specifically need to make sure they have an attorney, you know, on their side to help prevent some of these challenges that come up with their brands. So, again, thanks for your time, and I really appreciate you sharing what you have shared today.
All right. I enjoyed it, and thanks for inviting me. And look forward to working with you in the future.
You're listening to Fashion Confab, where we have conversations with the icons and trailblazers of the fashion industry. Listen in to be informed and inspired as we profile the most influential people in fashion today. Motivating, informative, entertaining. You're on trend with Fashion Confab.